Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
We're talking about friendship this morning, which is really the foundation of every good relationship. It's the foundation of every good working relationship, of every parenting and child relationship, the foundation of husbands and wives. But I tell you, marriage isn't the pinnacle of all relationships. There is strength and there is depth and there is vulnerability that comes from fellowship. And I believe this morning that God is going to uncomplicate some things. Why don't you close your eyes? Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us. I pray this morning, Lord, that every heart that is entangled with trouble or trial, Father, I thank you that you will bring resolve to relationships, even this morning as we sit under the teaching of your word. I thank you, Father, that you have a way forward that is not complicated, but that is filled by the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray for you as I was in worship this morning. If you are facing a legal trial, a legal situation, we'll just lift your hands where you are. We're going to pray for you as a church. I can see those hands. Father, we disagree with every person who is facing a very challenging time right now, Father. We thank you, God, that courage, that truth, Lord, that strength will be upon them. And Father, I thank you that the comfort of the Holy Spirit will be in every room, in every meeting, in every business meeting, in every trial and courtroom, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you would help them prevail and be well. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We were standing with you, church. Hey, why don't you hug, love, kiss, embrace someone around you? Maybe a high five's more appropriate. High five. Don't you leave anyone out. A huge welcome if you're watching online. We know wherever you are, you're going to be blessed this morning. And if you're ever in Sydney, come. Come to church. We have 11 locations and this is just one of them. And so we want to invite you to come along with us. And if you are in the room and a guest this morning, we're glad you came. We're not too strange, are we? Pretty good. There's a few strange ones. But they're wearing orange. No, I guess these are orange. No, we don't label the strange ones. You can talk to anyone here this morning and be warmly embraced. And so we hope you have a great morning with us this morning. We have guests every weekend and most of the time they come back. So keep coming back. Sound good? We are, as I said, in the second week of a series in relationships. And this week we're talking about friendship. And like I said before, friendship is something that sounds so primary school, but I'd have to tell you that that is truly, if we can get them right and get beautiful, strong friends around us in every season, we're going to be well. We're actually going to make it. And if the Bible talks about any type of relationship in the New Testament, it's fellowship. It's the conversation of believer and believer, how to relate to people around you, how to go well and how to not grind up against spouses, family members, the people that you're serving God with. And so we're going to glean this morning from the relationship actually of Paul and Barnabas. And they have an interesting relationship. But for the most part of what we read in Scripture, they were friends who served God together. And I love the beginning of their relationship. When Saul, whose name became Paul, was really growing into leadership, but we're reading actually would not quite have got to that place unless it was Barnabas, a friend who saw beyond what he currently was and drew him into a future that he didn't yet perceive. And I know if you're anything like me, I have had seasons in my life where I need those kinds of friends close. But friends don't fall from the tree. They're seeds. And we have to invest and give and build beautiful friendships. If you're lonely this morning or isolated, this is the best place to be. But it takes a few bold steps to go to Connect Group, find a connection, exchange numbers, and begin to do life with people, not just on a Sunday, but day to day, highs and lows, friendship, laughter, tears, all in between. That's what God has for you in the body of Christ. So, hey, I can hear you, Andy. You're loving it. So encouraging. Psalm 139:14 says this. The screens don't have it. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. And every husband said, yes, those women, mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. Again, about women. It simply amazes me to think about how thoroughly you know me. As I was praying and really interceding more for this morning, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit of the birth of one of our children. Don't worry, I won't go into all the details. But it was extremely complicated, so much so that when they brought one of our daughters back to us, they were crying. Little did we know they weren't crying because they were moved by the birth scenario. They were crying because she started breathing. And I was interceding this week and the Lord reminded me that there are complications that the enemy, the devil, will try to get into your world, not to do anything except take your breath, take your life, take your attention. And God does not bring complexity. Any complexity is not from God. Complexity is from the enemy, but God brings clarity, peace, life, breath. One is totally different from the other. So when you're praying, pray, God, have your way. Remove the complexity in my relationships and show me how to live with grace that you have for me. Philippians 2:3-6 says, do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. That's easily said than done. I agree. Not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. If you're anything like me, you've met Christ and you are reminded I have an old way and an old pattern of thinking and an old way of relating, but God actually has a new way of relating, a new way of thinking, a new way of navigating how I'm going to live and do grace life with other people. It's actually completely foreign. And I always need to remind myself, God, you have a way of mercy and grace and love and truth that far exceeds what I've ever known within me. But I know in you, I've got all I need to navigate this relationship. I was in chapel this morning and I was laughing with Kerry Saundercock at the amount of times each month I lock myself out of my house, right? Could be worse. Could be locking my children in the house. And she said to me, and I told her the scenario. My girls love it when I lock the keys in the house because we go into the backyard and we look at the 1.5 meter leap jump that mummy will do from one balcony to the other balcony in order to break into my house. I hope there's no robbers watching online. I've since fixed the window. But my girls call me Spider Mummy. And she said to me, Spider Mummy, yes, maybe they lock the keys in the house. Maybe it's not me. Maybe they just want to see this scenario unfold. Go, Mummy, Spider Mummy. And she said to me, why don't you get a key and like a security key and like put it in the garden? I thought, that's marvelous. I have never thought to have a spare key. The person who constantly locks herself out of the house, what am I thinking? It reminded me of the times that the Lord comes to us and says, why do you keep doing the same thing over and over again? You're going to break your legs. Try something new. What you're doing is not working. The grinding, the arguing, the condemning, the holding a grudge, the silent treatment, the I'm not calling that friend, they haven't called me. God says that doesn't work. The only way you're going to have successful relationships if you do it my way. So God, we want to do it your way. We want to do it your way, Lord. Friendly, let me read you some descriptions of friendly. I know most of you do these on numerous occasions a day, but here we go. Pleasant, affectionate, warm, companionable, approachable, hospitable, accessible, good-natured, agreeable, and sympathetic. I am those things most of the time, but probably like you and like me, sometimes they are not my first reaction. We would talk about relationships at our house and friendship probably every day, at least every school day. It's like, how was school? How was learning? How were friendships? Friendships are the topic of conversation. It is the big, huge area that makes or breaks a day in our house for my girls. We recently James got home from preschool with our beautiful 4-year-old daughter who isn't here, so she can't be publicly shamed. But she and her friend, 4 years old, decided they would steal the teacher's keys, car keys, preschool keys, life keys, and take them home with daddy. Oh, that's my girl. No, hold on, wait. And so Jay gets home. What are these keys? Oh, they're the teacher's keys. Who told you to do that? I won't mention her name because we're live streaming, but another beautiful young girl who... And so James made her take them back to preschool and she was dying with embarrassment, which is good. Good for you sometimes. So we're going to turn to this passage in Scripture in Acts. And if you're new this morning and a guest, every weekend and really each day of our lives, we basically live our lives according to the Bible. And I tell you what, it's powerful. My prayer is maybe the person you came with, you've seen some power on their life. And I tell you, it comes from the Word of God, but it doesn't come from the pages. It comes from the author, which is the Holy Spirit, writing through people thousands of years ago. And this morning, we're going to look to a passage of Scripture that really is the account of a little while after Jesus has died on the cross. He has risen from the dead. He has been seen by his disciples, risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit of God, who's now sent into the earth, still in the earth, still in the lives of believers, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said, will be your helper. The Holy Spirit has been given to the church and given to believers, and thousands of people all across the region are giving their heart to the Lord. And there's some uproar. There is some opposition. The Jewish people who have not been sold that Jesus is the Messiah are in turmoil. They're quite angry. The Christians, who weren't even called Christians just yet, but they are beginning to follow Jesus and his teaching. And there was an amazing account of a man named Saul who, for a job, for a living, was killing Christians. So it wasn't like Facebook trolling. He's literally killing Christians. And on his way to do his job in a city called Damascus, he experiences the risen Christ in an amazing experience. He falls to his knees and he gives his heart to Christ. It says he goes on and spends 3 years in Arabia, and then he comes back to Jerusalem, and that's where we're picking up. He has been one thing, but he's met Christ, and now he's something new. But he comes back to the people of God, to the early church, and you can imagine, some people aren't thrilled. Some people don't believe him. And that's where we're going to pick up. You good? We're going to turn to Acts 9. I think the team have a different translation, so my apologies, but you'll get the drift. Acts 9. When Saul arrived, one other important piece of information. When he gives his heart to Jesus, this man called Saul, Jesus changes his name to Paul. It's an incredible moment. I have to say, when I met the Lord, part of my life changed as well. My name and who I was called really did change. But my name's still Tammy, but that's confusing you. Let's move on. Acts 9, when Saul, who becomes Paul, arrived in Jerusalem, he attempted to introduce himself to the fellowship of believers. But everyone was afraid of him because they doubted he was a true disciple. I'd probably be in that boat, in all honesty. Barnabas came to his defense and brought him before the apostles. Saul shared with him his supernatural experience of seeing the Lord, Jesus, who spoke with him on the road to Damascus. And Barnabas pipes up again and also told them how boldly Saul preached throughout the city in Jesus' name. Then they accepted him as a brother and he remained with them, joining them wherever they were in Jerusalem, boldly preaching. I'm going to talk about three thoughts from this passage of Scripture this morning and the value that they are for your friendships. It's going to help your everyday life. It's going to help your workplace. It's going to help your marriage. It's going to help your parenting. But friendships, none of us can get away with not having. And this first thought and the love that comes inside of us when we have Christ, it's a love that actually triumphs over judgment. Sometimes it's a love that doesn't free flow, but God needs to show us how to love and how to stand with. Can you imagine if no one stood up for Paul? We would not have ever experienced the Paul of the New Testament, who goes on to be one of the most incredible influential leader of the early church, writing so much of the Bible by the gifting of the Holy Spirit that we have now. Can you imagine if no one stood up for him? I tell you, there are people in your world, friends, who maybe are close, maybe friends that you know you've got a grace to encourage and become closer with, that maybe will not ever become the person that they are meant to become without someone standing beside them, giving unconditional love, saying, I know you were once that, but now you are this. This is who you are now. I love you. I forgive and accept completely that you can change. People can change. There's been certain friends in my life and things have gone strange. Has anyone had a strange relationship go a bit weird? But there have been certainly relationships that I feel the incredible mercy and love and grace to stand with and not against. I feel positioned to stand with you. I don't care what's gone down. I don't care what has happened. I feel mercy to stand with you in love. Can I encourage you to keep doing that? One day you might be on the other end of that. That love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. If we're all constantly reminding people of how they've disappointed us, how they've grieved us, all the things I could list off that have hurt me, that's no foundation for any friendship or any future. You won't change, they won't change, but love covers and will build something towards a future together. The second thought is the purpose. Let's read from Acts 12, 24. So they accept him, they begin to minister. Paul and Barnabas begin to have missionary trips after missionary trip, preaching the gospel, seeing incredible things happen. And in verse 24, it says, but the word of God increased and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem where they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. We might get back to him in a moment. From verse 1 of Acts 13, now they were in the church of Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. And after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for the person next to you. He has a purpose for our church. He has a purpose for your connect group. God has a purpose for you, and his desire is that some of the closest people to you will get the purpose. Some of the people who are closest in your world are not people who are grinding against the foundations of your faith, but they are championing and encouraging and bringing into flame, full flame, what God wants to do in your life. You can be friends with anyone. I've got friends in church, outside of church. I'll tell you what, but the closest people to me, the people that are side by side, arm to arm, are the people who just get it. They're the people who just get that I want faith in my life. I'm going in this direction. I believe a God who does impossible things. And that's the direction I'm going. The purpose of God is so valuable to you, but he needs people around you that can champion you on in that. It's probably rare that we're in the same situation called to do the same thing as a dear friend of ours, but maybe you've got a colleague that's working with you on the same thing. You're in the same direction. I know we've got great people that we serve alongside with in church, even here on staff, who they're called to the same purpose. But let me remind you, it doesn't matter the purpose that each of you and your friends are called to, just fan it into flame. Say whatever it is that's in your heart, I believe you can do it. Have people who know what you're believing for. They know what it is you are praying and believing for to do in God and have them stand side by side to you. And that purpose is something that will remain with you in and out of season. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Don't be led astray. Of course, in our right mind, we wouldn't agree. Of course I won't. Of course you won't. I know you won't. But don't be led astray. Being led astray is just slow. You know, it's just, I'll just be led astray. Don't be led astray. That's why connect groups are so powerful. They're not for a pop in and pop out. They're for a, I'm doing my life with people who are going in the same direction. Come high, come low, they're around me. I champion all you connect group leaders, gathering people in your home and saying, keep going with the purpose that's on your life. I did this quite intentionally when we had our first daughter. She was about one, and we kind of realized we've got no friends. We did have friends. Sorry, I'm looking at the friends that I had in that season. We did have friends. What I mean by that is we left serving in youth and we didn't really have friends because they were all in youth and we weren't in youth anymore. And I said to James, let's just stalk some people that look brilliant. And we did that. We thought, they look like nice, great Christians. Let's invite them for lunch. Growing friendships is not organic. It's terribly organized. And don't feel weird about that. Feel encouraged. You know what? I'm going to find some great friends. You don't need a lot. One or two, I say. One or two people who know everything. Everyone doesn't need to know everything, but one or two people standing with you who know everything is a good place to be in. Proverbs 27:17, you've heard this so many times, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That sounds painful. It is, maybe. Potentially painful. When someone says, why are you doing it like that? You know, you're meant to be, you're called to this. Don't stop doing this. This is the purpose God has for you. Stay in that realm and stay on course. And so Paul and Barnabas continue to preach. Thousands of people are coming to the Lord. They're having a great impact. And this is probably my favorite. Well, it's the most painful, so buckle up, but it's my favorite. We need the love, we need the purpose, but the perspective is something that sometimes I'm not going to have. Let's pick up in Acts 14, verse 19. Then some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the crowds to stone Paul. They were cross because they did not believe in the Jesus that he was proclaiming was the Messiah. They were cross with everything that was happening, and they decided to stone him. When they thought he was dead, they dragged him out of the city, but after the disciples gathered around him, he stood up and he went into the city. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Can I encourage you? Encouraging you is the wrong word. Can I implore you? There are going to be some hard days. There are going to be some days, not every day, not every season, but there will be seasons when you are on the ground. There are going to be seasons when you need someone in your line of sight. They are close. You have walked with them. You have been there for them. And now it's your turn. It might not be as terrible as this. I'm sure it won't be, in fact. But it might be a health challenge. It might be something to do with your kids. It might be something to do with days of trouble or days of anxiety or days of temptation. And you need someone in your line of sight who comes at that very moment right by your side and says, this is not the end. This is not the end. And they stand beside you. Take a while to get up sometimes. I mean, they thought he was dead. I can't imagine he bounced up, ready to conquer the next city. But can you imagine the visual? He's on the ground and the disciples come around him, they stand around him, they pull him up, they draw him up. This is not the end. This is not over. I got a future for you. I can see more for you. This is not the full perspective, because sometimes you won't be able to see it. Sometimes you'll hardly be able to pray. And you'll go to a friend, someone you have stood with, maybe someone you have baked meals for, prayed with, been to their wedding, been to their highs and lows. And here you're going to say, oh, you know what? I need some help. I need some help. I think in this day and age, that is challenging. Help. Help. It's not going to be your Facebook friends that come at your door. They're not going to know what's happening. Well, unless you're, you know, posting it all. No one likes that. Jokes, I'm joking. Retract. I don't share my life on social media. I share my wins. I share my poetry. I share beautiful photos. That's not my life. My life is in the quiet. It's with a very few close friends. It's with, I could cry. It's with Richard and Kate Forsyth. They know all the details. It's good. You're going to need a day when, you know what? I'm not great, but I've got some great people around me. And they're people of faith. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get through this day. You're going to get through. You're going to get through. You're going to get through that day. You're going to show your kids how to get through the day. You're going to show your connect group how to get through that day. And then when it's not your turn, you get them on the other end. Come on. I got you. Stand. You can do this. Sometimes that day looks like getting some other kinds of help. Great. Do it. All for it. Be persuaded for a different perspective. The next day he left with Barnabas for Derbe. So beautiful. When I looked up the word Derbe, I thought, oh, I hope it means something awesome. You know, like he left that city and he went to like victory. But it doesn't mean that. It's quite average. City of the tanner, you know, leather tanner, so pretty cool. But can I tell you, no matter where this good friend takes you, anyone who's taking you out from here and into somewhere new is a good friend. They just keep moving. Just keep people moving. Paul and Barnabas, as I said earlier, they had an interesting relationship. They served God for a long time together and did amazing things. But they actually had an argument that made them part ways. But what I love reading about the commentaries is that they still had great respect for one another. They just couldn't work on the same thing anymore. That day can happen, right? But with God, mercy allows fellowship to just continue, maybe not in close proximity, but with gratitude, with respect, with an understanding of, you know what, God is working through our lives. What? How liberating. How liberating. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus. Let me read the scripture to you as we close. Proverbs 18:24 says this, "The man of too many friends chosen indiscriminately will be broken in pieces and come to ruin. But there is a true loving friend who is reliable and sticks closer than a brother." No matter how many good intentions we have as a friend, we're going to fall short. Would I be so bold to say, you are going to fall short. And God's mercy is here for us to just, like Jimmy led us so beautifully in this morning, just release. Just, that's the Holy Spirit in you going, I'm just going to release. But also let it turn you to Jesus. Like I said, when Christ went to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit to stay. So wake up with the Holy Spirit. Go to sleep with the Holy Spirit. Go about your day with the presence of God because he is the closest friend. He will listen all day long and he'll give you good wisdom in every season and you will not be disappointed. And he'll lead you to great new friendships, humankind's real people friendships that you need.
Hey everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.